Heyo, Outliers. Niyama Shong here, and thank you once again for joining us on the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their biggest difference in the world. My question for you today is how I want to start things out. And the question that I have for you is like, where are you playing in your life? Where are you playing right now? The reason that I'm asking this question is A, I think I really do believe play is at my core. And you can watch through all the different episodes. You can spend time with me. You can see sometimes I can be really serious, real serious, but it's part of the reason why like we start off each episode with just some kind of levity, because it's like it reminds me like, hey, this is the way we wanna be. But in addition to that, I think I'm especially attuned to play today because the person we get to spend the time with, the outlier we get to spend our time with today, has brought out a particularly playful side of me today. We get a chance to spend time with this incredible outlier named Alyssa Fennig. So, Alyssa, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being you. Thank you for bringing you. Like literally, as soon as I saw you today, I was just like my shoulders started moving. We're gonna have. Just so you know, we can play with like in what looks like outward play, but like deep, meaningful, confrontational, like expert, like mastery level conversations is one of the best games in the world for me. So we can also play that way. So don't like, I know I've established something, I've set a frame in some way, but I think that the actual frame here is that like I just think that you and I can go everywhere together, and that is what is so freeing and playful about it to me. Really glad that we get to spend time together.
Great. Thank you for having me on. I think that's an interesting question because that play is actually something I explore in my life. And so I am like, I feel playful today, but when I have private tango lessons every week, and it's always like, he's like, to truly dance with a partner, you have to like flow and play with the music and your partner. And sometimes that's challenging for me, especially if I get in my head and I'm thinking of steps or that sort of stuff, which is very applicable through our lives, right? We can really get in our heads. So I think where are you playing is really a great question for everyone, and it's really relevant for me because that's something that's been something I've been not striving for. That's not the right word. That's so masculine, but it's like just trying to incorporate more into my life. Where can I find that levity in the day-to-day?
Well, let's play today with levity. Let's play today with staying out of our heads. It's just play. And again, like I think, like as long as we don't have any definition of what play has to look like, but we can still come from the spirit of play, regardless of what we choose to do. I think we will both be served, and outliers out there will be served. And just and like the component of being leaders who can come from what we're looking to do, and to be able to take that energy into everything we do. I think that's a powerful way to be in conversation. So let's keep playing. Right now, I'm glad I got a chance to share like a bit of like how you have already impacted me. Like as soon as we come on, like I feel this from you here. I want to give outliers a chance to get to understand like your special sauce, right? Like what makes you an outlier and how you live that in your life. Tell us a bit about your life here, and tell us about the way that you show up as an outlier in work and beyond.
Sure. So, I mean, gosh, I could go in so many ways. So you might want to keep me on track. But yeah, I've been told before that I am someone who will pave a new path when one path isn't working. And that's definitely who I am. And I was just teaching a lot about following your heart and getting rid of the shoulds in your life and the programming that we have. And that's something I've definitely done. And sometimes when we do this, we don't think of it as inspirational, but sometimes it is to people, but it's to me just being me. And so right now in my life, I live in the Central Highlands of Mexico. I'm a single mother. We moved when she was two, and so over 2.5 years ago, now she's in preschool or kinder. And so I had to follow my heart and my dreams to do that and move through family of origin things, fears, the shoulds, and that sort of stuff. So who am I? I'm you know an outlier, which totally resonates with why I just agreed to come on your podcast, and I really resonated with you and your energy too. I'm an intuitive business and spiritual coach, and I host retreats, weaving the divine feminine and ancestral healing into the retreats, as well as business strategy for female entrepreneurs. Because women, including myself, many times we don't have entrepreneurship in our lineage. Right now, most of us are figuring it out ourselves. And I have this calling to really share that and share my wisdom of having been an entrepreneur for a long time. So I used to have a yoga studio and wellness center for over 5 years. I sold it during the pandemic, the start of the pandemic in 2020, for 6 figures. And I was able to live off that for a little bit and then switched and now have a branding and marketing agency, which kind of unfolded on its own. And still have that. Gosh, it's been what, 4 years now? And it continues to grow. It wants to grow even when I don't want it to grow. And I do that as well. So technically, I've couple businesses going on there, but I am trained as a yoga therapist and used to teach yoga teacher trainings, see private clients, work at the VA hospital and other clinical settings as a yoga therapist. So I have all of this Eastern background and training, as well as in the feminine and business and branding and ancestral healing. And it's because it was the path that I was introduced to and followed and found that was really helpful for me to clear invisible forces holding me back, step into my power as a woman, as an entrepreneur, and really become successful in my endeavors, even though there's always ups and flows, right? And so those are the things that I see that get to the root of issues, no matter whatever gender you are, it doesn't matter. But I just happen to love working with women. And so really weaving in those invisible things and the unseen is what I'm passionate about.
Right. We'll play with all of this here today. So we have the weaving. We have I'm here that you've reinvented, but still along the same line. You're an entrepreneur. You've had multiple businesses in different ways. I would like to look at some of the through lines throughout that. And yet you're now in a place where you've decided to weave them all together and through something else really impactful and spiritual to you as well. So let's take us now into this moment, right? We'll start out here. Tell us more about the work you do with your clients, and I want to start with that there because I feel like it's going to actually open up some things. I want to play, right? And so let's start with that, and then we'll see where we take things from there.
Sure. So the work with my clients can look very differently depending on the client and what they need, which is, sometimes challenging and explaining what I do. I think it captured it decently, but a lot of times people will come in, okay, there's business things, there's strategies. Like I have a client who she wants to retire and she has a kombucha culture company and exports all over the world. And she's like, it doesn't light me up anymore. And I want to retire and I want to do things that make me feel alive again. And so, in doing that, we're talking about what are the action steps? What are the strategies? What are the things needed to put that, make that happen? Either sell it, or if it's not valid, what can you do? I mean, there's all kinds of things like, what can you do to get out of that day-to-day that's dragging you down? And then what do you need in your life? What can you reconnect with that makes you feel alive? What did you used to do? And so it may be a conversation like that. And other clients I've helped grow from a solo psychotherapist practice into a group psychotherapy practice, for example. And it's stepping in your mid-30s, how do I grow into the CEO and that kind of role? Plus, I'm navigating, a relationship issue that may or may not have failed, and that sort of stuff. And sometimes in these crisis places, that's when people come on retreat to really deep dive with me, especially here in Mexico. And then it's okay, how do we keep on track? How do we make sure that your profitability is happening? So it might be very linear, and it might be in a spiral as well, and working on all of these unseen things. I've helped clients connect the dots of why they're holding themselves back related to relationship with their mother and things they needed. And how that plays out. And sometimes it's just literally connecting the dots, and they may not be ready to like work deeply, or they might. It just depends where they are in their life. And then it's like you could because you can become successful financially, but maybe your relationships aren't working, and vice versa. And I'm not a relationship coach or anything, but I can connect the dots and kind of send people in certain ways to go deeper into areas. So, it just depends. But a lot of times we're working not just on strategy and marketing. That might be things we're touching on, but really connecting with how do you want to market? How do you want your daily life to look like? And how do we make that happen?
I love how you called out like connect the dots. So you said that a few different times in this place, and as you go forward, I'm like, okay, I can understand here because I talk about weaving and like invisible lines. And it's like no, like the invisible lines are the connection of the dots right there as well, right? The unseen things like you're really good at seeing like space. Like I'm hearing like you're good at seeing things where like they may seem completely unrelated. Or they go much deeper than where like what people actually see on the surface, and you're able to create that level of like it almost feel like you're able to like transport through the dimensions as necessary in order to connect the dots that may not actually seem like they do. So we'll keep playing with that in this conversation. As you see things being connected, we'll like or you, as you see dots, call them out, and then let's see how we can connect with them in real time. I'm actually interested in want to spend more time. I know you do and. Ancestral healing. And I want to get a little bit of that into this conversation. But the one of the things that calls me right now is around like the outlier trend that you have, right? And I'm going to almost look at it through the lens of connecting the dots. So you've had a career and experience that have taken you from many different industries. I can see how you're bringing them all together and so on and so forth. I'm curious though about like, what is it, what would you say like are like two of your greatest strengths? And how have you like used them and evolved them in each of the different things that you've done? Like how, like tell me a little bit about that. And those strengths, just, I call them like your outlier advantage. So like,
Sure.
what's like, what would those be for you?
Yeah, well, the first one is definitely that I'm highly intuitive. And of course, honed that over the years even more. And as a practicing yoga therapist, when I had my private practice, that was what every time someone came in, and I had integrative physicians referring to me because yoga therapy is evidence-based practice. I had other yoga studios referring to me, that sort of thing, partly because I positioned myself as a thought leader. But when someone came in, I usually would ask, and I weave this into what I do now, like if something's happening or something happened, what was going on when that happened? Like what was really, what's the story underneath the story? And I'm highly intuitive to kind of figure that out. And working those, and that's the whole connecting the dots things. And I can usually see it after a quick conversation, or sometimes just looking at someone. But usually, and I can pull those together really easily. And someone will be like, as a yoga therapist, I remember distinctly, it was like, oh, I was walking the dogs, and then the dogs pulled me, and I hurt my hip. And I'm like, well, what was going on at that time? Oh, well, my parents died. And I'm like, well, that's the dot, that's the connection. And so let's delve there, and which hip, and how, what does that mean, and that sort of stuff, which goes into other things. And the other thing I would say is,
Hold on, listen, before we get to the next thing, I want to give you space and time to think about that. But I think it's important to let that one breathe through right now because there's some like what you just said there was really profound. I also get that it's your life, but like I'm over here, I'm taking notes and I'm saying present. And I'm also like, what's the next question I'm gonna ask? And then I'm like, then you talk about the hips and the parents dying and the dogs. And you're like, oh, that's the thing. And then we just got, I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's slow this down. Let's slow this down. I think that this, I think that's an, I yeah, I feel like that's, yeah, I just have this, I'm gonna, since you're intuitive, I'm gonna allow my intuition to play. I have an intuitive hit that like, that's the direction to go. All right, to slow down with that. All right, so you're out here, and so like you're seeing things that people don't typically see. You're able to make connections in ways that they wouldn't normally connect, right? And they let's you might can we keep using this example here? Okay, all right. So someone comes in with you, and they're like, hey, I have this problem. And it's presented itself as a hip issue, or maybe it's just like a part of conversation, and it seems like oh yeah, this weekend I also hurt my hip, you know. But you take it seriously, and you get curious, and you're able to then go in. Tell me about the experience. Like, I guess I think there's a part of me that gets like you have magic around this, right? And I don't think we're here to like teach people your magic around it. I think what it is really is around leaning into that intuition, right? And so what I like to talk about is actually not like, at this point I feel like you are highly attuned, and like it comes to you a little naturally, like you allow it to come naturally. I love to like be in a space where like, tell me about like the process of developing it. Was there a time where you actually like pushed away the intuition? Was there a time where you, yeah, go ahead, I see some things going on, so.
Well, I'll just go right into my I was thinking about this and I was laughing yesterday. So with a friend, because I was watching Netflix, I went and had an abdominal massage, which I try to get monthly, and I was like, I'm tired. I have childcare until 7 o'clock. I am going to binge watch Netflix because I never ever get to do that, right? And so I'm watching Always a Witch on Netflix, Siempre Bruja. And I'm like, I need to just accept that I'm a witch, and joked with a friend about that. But I did not resonate with that word, or even the word goddess or priestess or anything, until probably the last year. And I'll tell you what shifted. But I've always been highly intuitive, but it was a process of kind of accepting and figuring that out, because we're in this, we live our lives, we're so-called normal, and doing that. And then I first studied yoga, which opened up a whole thing, and starting to yoga is about creating a relationship with yourself. So I would say that was the first time that I started to create a relationship with myself, my body. And this was many, many years ago. And then as I had my, there's always stuff that happens in between, but I'll try to highlight the parts. As I had my wellness center, and I had different practitioners, including energetic practitioners, who were trained in other things. And so introduced to energy therapy. I had no idea what that was. I introduced to family constellation therapy. Oh, no idea what that was. And I was curious, and luckily I had these people who would kind of share, and I would experience it, and then I would be like, wow, this is life-changing. And then I'd start to refer my clients and integrate into our yoga therapy packages, so they go to family constellation, because that's something that needed to be cleared. We had someone who did that. And then I would practice things like Koya, for example, because I always joke with the example of putting a flower crown on and running through the forest. But like, that was a turnoff. Like, you see that on Instagram and you're like, yeah, that's not, that's the feminine. And I'm using air quotes as I say that, or that's that, and people calling themselves goddess and energy and priestess. And it was a turnoff to me. And I started Koya, which was, it's still obviously around. It was a beautiful practice that I thought was layered into ways where you started to move into your body. By the end, you free dance. And it was structured in a way that there was like a sacred circle with women and sharing. And as a woman, many, and men, of course, don't always have this either, but like, being able to be in a sacred space and be held and share things from the heart. And I really did that when I was pregnant, even though I experienced that before, but it was all introduced while I had my wellness center. Other people would contact me, can I host this class here? Can I do this offering? And it was just like, wow. And I'm a very, I wouldn't say skeptical, but I need to experience and feel it before I accept it as true. And so, but I'm open enough to experience and feel it. And as I continued to do that and look into and learn, then my intuition grows because I'm further creating a relationship with myself. And I feel like those are the things, and then I just continue to do it, and I can always continue to do it. But the one thing that really shifted for me, and I'm really passionate about, and why I said that I really didn't embrace those until probably the last year, is I have spent, I guess, since the pandemic had started, for many years doing ancestral lineage repair. Doing that with Dr. Daniel Thor. He wrote Ancestral Medicine, the book, and doing a course, and then starting with, you start with the most well lineages. And so I started with my father's side. And last, well, I guess it was the summer to fallish, I worked on my maternal lineage. And it took some time, and it was profound. I could go deep into that, but it was just recognizing within my lineage, there were so many gifts, and that, and it's not just you're thinking of your mother, grandmother, great grandmother, you're thinking thousands and thousands of years, like before migration pattern, you know, like the and the migration patterns and that sort of stuff. Within my female lineage were high priestesses and witches. And I'm like, whoa. And that goes to the I have to experience and feel it to know it's true. And I was like, that is true. And so I am very much more comfortable, but I do it in my way. You know, I can't ever say I have flower, have put flower crowns on now, you know, like I've had to open up to that. But at first I was resisting it because to me, growing up, the feminine was weak. And I had to integrate and embody the feminine, and especially in within my lineage, to not only really step into my intuition. I mean, that's been years in the making. You just slowly like get more connected with it, the more connected you are to your body, and people kind of sharing things with me, like someone said, you have the gift of looking at someone's eyes or looking at a picture and knowing more about their soul. And I do, but I didn't know that before. Like I had to be introduced to it and experience it. So anyway, the ancestral lineage really helped me embrace more of my true nature that was held within my feminine lineage, as well as within my father's lineages too, because my grandmother, I learned and experienced through that lineage repair process. My grandmother on my father's side comes from a long line of medicine women, even though she wasn't a practicing medicine woman. So, like, there's all kinds of things that are there, and the more we discover it. And for me, once I discovered it, I could easily embrace all of those things that I had kind of turned away or was, I wouldn't say triggered, but just resisted before.
So this plays out here. Thank you, Lisa. I'm going to spend some time just like unpacking, right? So, and then we'll see where we take the rest of the conversation. But I think it's you brought a lot to the table here, and we're going to play it out in a couple of different ways. So one of them is the conversation we just had, right? And like talking about like the actual ancestral lineage repair and the process you went through and the benefits that it gave you. And then throughout this, also what I was listening to and tracking against was like the components for various outliers who are both looking to experience it for themselves or looking to like figure out, okay, you talk about a lot of times like not I hear different levels of like how you work through your openness and to bring more things in into your world. So I kind of want to explore that part with you because I feel like that's like they can listen back and hear about the experience that you had. But underneath that here, I feel like there was a lot of different gems you were sharing around like openness, opening to and embracing more of you And then leveraging that more and more, and how that continued to compound upon itself. Do you mind if I reflect back some of the things that you said, and then like you let me know how it sits? Okay.
Sure.
All right, cool. So the first one here, and this is something I had to capture because I was like, I hadn't heard anyone say it this way. But you said, talk about your intuition. And you said, like, well, like intuition grows and it further develops through your relationship with yourself. And I thought that was really, like, to me, that felt really profound. Like, it's like I think about intuition from a like an experiential perspective. One of my theories is like, one of the ways I approach it is that intuition is also like a pattern recognition, advanced pattern recognition. Like, I've seen so much, I've experienced so much that I can see where it's coming. But I love this way of looking at it as the relationship you have with yourself, and as that develops, your intuition develops. So, outliers, so many of you are out there, and you're like, well, I'm not all that intuitive, I don't even know if it, like intuition is real or not. I want to offer you, through Alyssa's experience here, a different pathway in. Perhaps the path is not to go and try and be intuitive at all, but instead it's just to keep building the relationship you have with yourself. What are your thoughts? I'm going to go through a couple other things that you said here, but before I go on to that, and anything strikes you, anything that you want to clarify or augment when I said to listen?
Yeah, no, I think you captured it beautifully, but it also is based on our experiences as too, and our lessons learned and we see things, but I think through those experiences we develop our relationship with ourselves. So however you go into that's really the path.
I love it. I love it. You also said you spoke here around to that. Also felt like a bit of a distinction for me, where you're like, I have to experience it and feel it to know that it's true, right? And look, you're talking to outliers, so like I really do think like we're a bunch of questionnaires and rebels, and like we don't just take things on the surface value. Otherwise, like, we couldn't do what we do. We couldn't be who we were if that was the case, right? We wouldn't be living where we live, and so on and so forth. And so there was just something in what you said. I wanted to highlight that just to like bring some freedom here. And so, outliers, I'm going to bring it to you now and just say, like, for yourself, what's your process of really being able to believe something, right? Like you said, like, you're not a skeptic. Like, you're open. But like for it to transform from like, yeah, I'm open, I could see maybe it worked for you, I'm not gonna stop it. You're welcome in the wellness center, so on and so forth. But before I become a believer of it, or I'm out there like I'll market it, but it's different to be a market and to be an evangelist. Like, I can market it and I can evangelize it. And one thing is, like, if I believe, like, let me I'm speaking a lot here, so let me know if I'm putting any words into your mouth that don't feel like true to you. Okay, please. But I'm hearing that, like, there's like a different level. You're like, fine, I can take a picture with a flower crown on, but there's a totally different thing between like, oh, I can actually allow myself to get the benefits of this, such that the flower crown is a natural extension of the experience, and it's not like it's there's no there's not it's not in resistance, but it's actually just in alignment with. So I would love to speak to. I want to ask you, outliers, to just think through what is your pathway to go through, like, the threshold between like being open to like actually being a believer, or being like knowing it to be true, or believing that it's true, something in that range. So think about it for yourself. And then, Alyssa, I'd like to come back to you on that and just like see if anything comes to mind or anything comes to heart as you expound on it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different. We all have different personalities and pathways to that, right? And I was on a call before this, and one person, she's a psychotherapist, and so she wanted to know more intellectually about what we were talking about, and it's like that's her way, and so it's like we just have to all come there a certain way, even though she knows how to also have some embodied like feeling experiences. She has a different way of coming in, and so do I. And that seems to be what mine is. I just have to feel it. But yeah, being open, because I've watched it so many times, even when I hosted classes or therapies, you can't convince everyone to try something. They have to be ready. So, something has to speak to them. That's why there's so many different things, modalities, guidance, all kinds of things out there in the world.
I love this. We're about to start wrapping up this part of the conversation, but there's one other thing that came up, and it feels like it's something that you just do. Like, it might like And it goes back to connecting the dots. You talked about having a wellness center, and I captured this early in what you said, and then I saw keep coming up, and I'm like, oh, listen, like you got this thing going on. The first part of it was you talked about referring, right? You mentioned how like I was getting referrals from here, I was getting referrals from here, and it wasn't like you were even like really saying it. You were just like, oh yeah, this is like there were just referrals coming in all the time from all these different places, and that was really interesting to me because I when I think about my life, my business, what I'd love to be out in the world, I'm like I would just love to be able to create abundance through abundance. There's always more for more. And then you also talked about integrating. You're like, I made my packages better by saying, okay, great, like you come in, you're also going to get this ancestral, like you'll get this, you'll get this, you get this by bringing in other people. And so like this might just be a reflection back, but I see that you got this going on for you. Like there's an abundance that comes along with you and an ability to both connect things, but do it in the way where, in a way that is valuable for yourself and others. And I use that language very deliberately. One of my callings on this earth is to help people be seen, celebrated, and valued for who they are. And when I hear you talking about like the referrals and the integ and like integrating them into the offerings and so on and so forth, I think these are really great ways to like take these connections and turn it into something that is both value and valued. And so it's a different side of the conversation, but you have different sides to you. So I'd love to like just get your thoughts on anything related to that, especially as some of the outliers out there. Like, I want to bring people together. I have, yes, a unique skill set, but I think it would be better if I wasn't doing it all alone. Really love to just get any of your thoughts on that, and then we'll wrap up for today.
I have two main thoughts on that, because some of it's experience and what we know, but I know that when I am completely aligned in what I am sharing with the world, and at that point in time, like I was a practicing yoga therapist, I had a thriving practice. I didn't ask for referrals. They were just made. And it's because I was standing in my power as I am a yoga therapist. And I was one of the first in Indianapolis, where I'm from. And I wrote articles. I put myself out there as a thought leader. So it was really easy to refer. And so when like one of my main friends who was an integrative physician wanted to refer to me, he first met me, I remember being at Starbucks, and he's like, "Can you show me like what you do?" And I'm like, "I'm not doing weird like breathing exercises in the middle of Starbucks for you. Like, you're just gonna have to." And I'm glad he asked that, because not every yoga teacher is trained as a yoga therapist for clinical stuff. Like, it's there's a 1,000 hour, or it's really like 800 to 1,000 hour differences in hours in training. It's just like, but those came, they were not forced. And so there's something about being in alignment with your work and what you're doing and positioning yourself as the expert and thought leader that attracted those, magnetized those. And the other thing is that this is, I just talked about this the other day on a networking call. When it comes to referring out, like, I don't know everything, and I consider myself a guide. I was having coffee with someone, and she was like, "I used to think I was the savior, and now I realize I'm just, here to help." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly it." And having owned a wellness center and hired and fired a lot of people, there are people who are there to really guide. And there are people there trying to heal other people to heal themselves. There's a different level that of the spectrum that they're on in relation to the ego. So, when you're working with people, you have to really pay attention to that, to keep yourself safe. And for me, I'm sure especially as a young yoga teacher, I'm sure I went through the, "Oh, look at me, I'm a yoga teacher." I think every yoga teacher graduates and thinks that. But it's like, really, we're guides. If we're sharing some wisdom, no matter what field we're doing, we are sharing it in, we are guides. And so for me, I recognize that, for example, family constellation therapy, which I still refer out, is powerful and transformative. I am not an expert in it, So I referred out to the practitioner at my studio. It was an easy referral and benefited all of us in a way by integrating it into the packages. And that's where my business and marketing mindset comes in. But even now, I have an online community, and my colleague who I collaborate with, she's a family constellations therapist and epigenetics expert. Yeah, I could take her training and do that, but I'm kind of like, I don't really want to. Like, I don't want to do that. So I love doing what I do. And so why not let's come together and put something together? Or I can refer to you as well. You know, I do both. So it naturally happens. But I will say that the alignment piece is really key because as I own that wellness center, I would support and try to market so many people. And I was working very much in my masculine, sharing everything. And I'm much wiser now. And so, but sometimes I would try to refer or collaborate with the wrong people because I was overgiving at the sacrifice of myself. So that's where, you know, like the more you know about yourself, the wiser you become, yada, yada, yada. But now in my more wise woman era, the collaborations come even more easily, and the referrals come even more easily because my intuition is even more heightened, and I can see who is good to work with, who's going to take care of certain clients, and that sort of stuff. So there are a couple layers there, but I think the alignment and who you are, is really key to all of that.
Well, so I'm glad that there are a couple of layers there. One, just because I feel it's a more complete response. Two, because I feel like it's just you, like you have multiple layers. And and also, it also we're gonna wrap with that question, but I think it also speaks to like the various dimensions that you bring to any given experience, right? You're multi-layered, and so I'm glad that you brought all those layers in. We're going to end here with just a few questions. Most of them are fairly quick overall. The first one here is, I'd love for you to share an outsight that you have with the audience right now. Well, not the audience, doesn't feel real with me, with the outliers who are listening right now. So an outsight to me is a takeaway, something to give that you want to give to them. Here, it's not their insight, it is your outsight for them. So what outsight would you like to share with them?
You know, I would say, especially with talking to outliers like myself, and it's really in, you know, because it often comes up that something holds us back, and this goes back to that unseen of like, no, do I really want to step into that? I have this idea, I re really want to move forward. What's holding me back? And they're unseen forces that can lie in our family of origin, our cultural society, religion, family of origin, ancestral, because when I think of family of origin, we think of just our nuclear family, but really beyond. And there are things that I've experienced and learned myself that we sometimes have to dig into, and they will not make logical sense. And so if something is holding you back from stepping in to being truly who your heart and you know where you really want to go and what you want to bring into the world, that's what you need to address, those invisible forces there.
That's absolutely fantastic here. Let's go here with for anyone who's looking to do that and wants to act on that outside and wants to like continue down walking down the journey with you, like what's the best way for someone to continue down in your world? Or what are the ways?
I mean, you can easily connect with me on Instagram or on my website, alyssafinnick.com. But
And
I,
that's with the P is there's a P before the F there. So there's a
yes.
silent V. If you're looking at this or watching it there, you're able to see her name. So just look at that. That's gonna be really simple.
Yeah.
We also keep that in the notes as well. But just want to make sure no one misses that there as we're in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the same, Alyssa Finnick of her Instagram as well, and Facebook, but I feel more active there and on LinkedIn. But yeah, and so I offer a lot of things, including one-on-ones, but our Woman Elevated community, my one-on-one coaching, and my Wild Wisdom retreats, where we really immersively go in depth. And I offer private retreats one-on-one, as well as group retreats in Mexico. And those are the way to really dive in. And even though I work mostly with women, I work with everyone. It's amazing how people like always want to talk about your ideal client and who you work with. But like once you focus on your passions, like you attract everybody. So
Well, thank you for that, Outliers. Make sure to get in touch there, and not even just get in touch. It doesn't feel deep enough. But like to like the journey is open there. To Alyssa's point, like maybe you just need to go out and experience it. So let's end here with two things, and these two things are for you now. One, what's been your biggest insight from any part of our conversation here today so far?
I love how you've reflected things back to me, which then, make me go, yeah, I am like that. we all need that. And I love that you really talk to outliers. And I felt really comfortable chatting about, who I feel I really am. And I think you hold great space for that. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that, and thanks for that reflection. We're gonna end here then with, hold on 1 second. It's odd because I'm saying thank you. I'm looking over to the side and I'm like, I have to receive this more. I'm in receipt, and I appreciate what you said. And I appreciate you also having the insight from that. With that here, we're gonna leave you with one last thing. I like to end our conversations with what I call the time capsule, and it's just a message that you will leave for yourself. It's a lesson you're leaving today for yourself to listen to in like 5 years, 10 years, sometime later on, where you might need to be reminded or want to be reminded of something that you know to be true to your heart, your soul, to your being right now. What's a message that you would love to leave to yourself right now that you may be reminded of later on?
What's most calling to me right now is really just the step into that true nature of the high priestess, and like that's who I am, and I see it in my daughter, and to remind myself, because it's easy to ignore. It's easy to fall into society. And so the message is like, you know what it is? It's remember who you are. And that is something that my father and grandfather always said to me growing up. I'm pretty sure my grandfather said it to my father. And it's, it was more about, if you go out party and like remember who you are. But the more I remember who I am, the more it resonates to me and is something I want to always remember and pass down too.
I appreciate that, dear. You're helping me remember more of me as well. Just thank you so much for being you. Thank you for bringing all of you to this conversation. I appreciate you and Outliers. Let's continue down the journey with Alyssa. Right. Journey on.